2012, a good year for selling cars. From APM, I'm Jeff Horwich. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. It's January 3rd. Along with new data on auto sales, we will look at the cost of waiting until now for Washington to roll around to approving Superstorm Sandy relief. Also in the news, Al Jazeera is buying Current TV, and a company known for canned meat is spreading its wings. That's a pun, but you have to stick around to find out why.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
The big three U.S. automakers are out today with their U.S. sales results from the past year. Here are the top line numbers. General Motors saw sales rise 3.7% in 2012. Ford sales were up 5% for the year. And at Chrysler, which was hit especially hard during the financial crisis, sales were up 21%. Let's go a little deeper into these numbers with Carl Brower. He is editor-in-chief at Total Car Score. Good to talk with you.
Hey, great talking to you, Jeff.
Take us through the year 2012 for Ford, GM, and Chrysler. What really stands out to you?
Well, what stands out to me is the quality of the product that consistently was coming out from all three of these manufacturers. I think that the whole industry has really turned up the competitive level that is expected by automakers today. And all three of these manufacturers, I think, met the challenge. That combined with the pent-up demand for cars that has been going on for years now with the economy struggling and people questioning whether they should buy a new car, resulted in the sales growth that we saw throughout the industry, but certainly among the big three.
What are the real market battlegrounds right now for these companies? Is it hybrids? Is it trucks? What's really critical?
I think the midsize sedan category has never been more competitive. You know, it's the best-selling single segment, and there's really not a bad car in there, and you've got a segment of, you know, 10 core vehicles in there at least, and they're all very good.
And what makes them good? I mean, what makes them so much better than, I don't know, 5 years ago?
They all look much better. They all are more fuel efficient. They're all more space efficient. So you've got more interior space, front and rear. You look at all these cars now, and it's like there's really nothing you can pick on there. Now you're down to things like price and styling and maybe an MPG here and there between the cars.
We have made much of every gas price spike that we've seen in recent years. And 2012 was overall a pretty high year for gas prices. Is there evidence in today's numbers that Americans are changing their habits?
There's not evidence in today's numbers to suggest people are changing their habits as much as the mainstream media and a lot of people want to assume. The problem with gas prices is that people keep getting used to the newer high prices, and that relatively speaking, and when you start looking at inflation and all these other aspects, gas is still relatively cheap in this country. I mean, gosh, you look at Europe and it's, you know, twice or more the cost. And at the same time, even more so, they keep pulling more fuel efficiency out of the traditional internal combustion engine. Now, the hybrids and diesels keep getting better, too, but they still cost more, and it's harder to justify the cost because it takes that much longer to pay back if you're thinking on a purely fiscal level.
Carl Brower, editor-in-chief at TotalCarScore.com. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeff.
When the fiscal cliff took center stage, the House set aside a relief bill for areas affected by Superstorm Sandy. House Speaker John Boehner now promises a vote on that bill tomorrow, and he took some real heat in the meantime from lawmakers in affected areas. The Senate passed that $60 billion package only in December. It has now been 2 months since Sandy came ashore. What difference does this delay in Washington make for those hard-hit areas? Here's Marketplace's Dan Bobkoff.
Just days after Hurricane Katrina, Congress passed billions of dollars in relief for Louisiana. It's been more than 2 months since Superstorm Sandy, and Northeast lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are fuming that they have yet to get their own federal dollars. Republican Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey said,
"Shame on Congress."
At a Wednesday news conference, and New York Congressman Peter King, a Republican, told Fox News that this is about more than politics.
"I'm talking about the thousands of people in my district, the hundreds of thousands of people throughout the New York, New Jersey area."
But does the federal funding delay make a difference to the Northeast?
Not in the long run.
Tom Berkland of North Carolina State University studies disaster response. He says this is mostly a symbolic blow, but the funding holdup could delay infrastructure repairs and payments to individual storm victims. States hope to be reimbursed for their storm response, but for now, they have to cover their own tab.
State governments are still very strapped by the last recession.
And while House leadership says some funding could pass as early as tomorrow, with the bulk of it considered mid-month, Congressman King thinks it could be February before Congress acts. In New York, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Well, stocks started out the morning on a down note, and as I speak to you now, they have turned positive, but not much. The Dow is just above breaking even, up about 6 points. The S&P 500 is up about 0.1%, as is the NASDAQ. The pace of layoffs slowed in December, and the firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says 2012 brought the lowest number of layoffs for the full year since 1997. Jobless claims rose slightly last week, though the Labor Department cautions a holiday week can be difficult to interpret. The payroll processor ADP says the private sector added 215,000 jobs last month. That was more than economists expected, and it suggests that expectations could be surpassed again when the official U.S. jobs report for the month comes out tomorrow. And now to spread some news from the food industry.
In all the world, only two things taste exactly like fancy fresh roasted peanuts. Peanuts themselves and Skippy peanut butter.
Well, try not to think too hard about this combination. Skippy is being acquired by the maker of Spam. Minnesota-based Hormel is looking to diversify its offerings, especially overseas. Skippy is the number one peanut butter brand in China. And it's been 4 months now since cab fares in New York City went up almost 20%. It was the city's first major fare increase in years. So have tips gone up accordingly? Forget about it. New data from New York's Taxi and Limousine Commission and reported by the New York Times shows tips have not risen nearly as fast. The result is that the typical tip has fallen from about 20% of the fare to around 15%. The data can only track payments with credit cards. Maybe folks with cash are a little more generous.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
A photographer died in L.A. yesterday while trying to photograph a Ferrari owned by Justin Bieber. It's a reminder that the market for celebrity photos can push paparazzi to take risks. And folks are asking if the industry needs new regulations to protect public safety. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
California enacted an anti-paparazzi law 3 years ago under celebrity governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, but courts ruled it unconstitutional. Mickey Osterreicher is general counsel for the National Press Photographers Association. He objects to stereotyping all photographers as paparazzi and sees no need for new laws.
It's a slippery slope that you start to go down when you start to single out specific people because you don't like what it is that they do.
Laws already exist, he says, to protect against stalking or reckless driving or invasion of privacy. Giles Harrison owns the London Entertainment Photo Agency. He says the public has an insatiable demand for celebrity gossip.
People want to know what celebrities' lives are about. They just don't want to necessarily know how you get the photos. But if there wasn't a market, there would be no business.
Harrison says if Justin Bieber had been driving the Ferrari, a photo of the singer getting a speeding ticket could have been worth around $2,000. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
So maybe you've come up with a New Year's resolution or two. Maybe the changeover to 2013 has given you pause to think about what the new year has in store. And when it comes to the economy, that is a perfect question for a pollster. And that's how we're going to start today's Attitude Check.
And the latest poll numbers suggest margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said!
Attitude Check is our weekly partnership with Gallup. And Editor-in-Chief Frank Newport is here as always. Hello, Frank.
Hi, good morning.
According to Gallup's polling, what are Americans expecting in the new year?
Well, economically speaking, it's a mixed picture, which is kind of interesting. The question we've been asking since 1965 is, will the new year be one of prosperity or one of economic difficulty? And 65% of Americans say it's one of economic difficulty. So that's not atypical. The only time we've had Americans being ebullient about the next year being one of prosperity was in the dot-com boom in the late 1990s and way back in 1965. However, a little over half say that it will be a year of full or increasing employment. And a little more over half say it'll be a time when prices will be reasonable next year.
Let's pivot to a different polling question you asked recently. You asked Americans to compare various aspects of American life with how they think those aspects of life are in other modern industrialized countries. Take me through a few of those.
Yeah, it's very interesting results because I would typify it by saying Americans compare us very favorably when it comes to softer dimensions. 77% of Americans say that the U.S. is the best or above average when it comes to individual freedoms. But when it comes to the economic system, only 34% of Americans say that the economic system is the best or above average. The rest say it's either average or actually about a quarter of Americans say our economic system is below average compared to other modern industrialized countries.
You also asked people about our system of government and you asked them about our health care system. Tell me about both of those.
Now, both of those are below 50% of Americans saying the best or above average, which is quite interesting. Of course, we have the Affordable Care Act, but only 29% of Americans say now that our health care system is above average compared to other modern industrialized countries. And then the system of government, a little less than half say it's above average compared to other modern industrialized countries. And of course, our system of government, representative democracy, is something we're very proud of here. But Americans at this point, at least in December, when we took these data, weren't all that positive about our governmental system.
So this notion of American exceptionalism, it has been called, right, that Americans believe generally that our way of life across the board is better than other places. That does not appear to be true.
Certainly, we are exceptional, I would say, when it comes to freedoms and also the quality of life. Americans were positive about that, but we're not sure how we're doing when it comes to the very specific systems of government and healthcare and the economy here in this country.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at Gallup. Thank you.
My pleasure.
The Arab broadcaster Al Jazeera is buying Current TV. That's the cable network founded by Al Gore in 2005. The deal's reported to be around $500 million. Al Jazeera plans to replace Current's programming with its own. The move could give it access to tens of millions of U.S. homes. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Al Jazeera is funded and run by the ruling family of the small oil-rich Gulf state of Qatar. The company wants to become a global player. That means extending its international reach. Therefore, it must win many more viewers in the world's biggest TV market, the United States. So far, it has struggled to do this, says Arab expert George Joffe.
For an American audience in particular, it's been seen very much as the voice of the enemy, and therefore lacked the credibility to persuade American cable carriers to actually carry its programs.
He says the company has earned a reputation for editorial independence, although some critics, even in the Arab world, accuse it of failing to report rigorously on Qatar and other Gulf states. Al Jazeera plans to launch its own U.S. news channel on Current TV's network this year, but it's already suffered a setback. Time Warner, the U.S.'s second biggest cable company, says it will drop Current TV following the change of ownership. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, the story of a spiraling act of generosity in Winnipeg. The other day, a customer lined up at the coffee shop chain, Tim Hortons, and spontaneously offered to pay for the order of the person behind him. That next person was so moved by that, I guess, that he or she did the same for the person behind them. Well, this went on for 3 hours. 228 orders in all, according to the Winnipeg Free Press. The company calls it a boost of goodness. They had no comment on customer number 229, who was apparently just like, hey, cool, free coffee. That's all for the Marketplace Midday Update for today. I'm Jeff Horwich. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.